Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 40 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And today we're talking about where you're losing money plugging holes in your leaky boat.
And here's what I like about this. We talk about the age of the podcast sometimes.
Yeah. And, you always talk about it.
And now that you're 40, because I'm a little obsessed, now that you're 40, I mean, really, it is time to look back on your life and see all the different places that you've been screwing up and fix those, okay, before you're too old to make a difference.
Yeah, and and that's exactly what this is because if you've got a small business and you've been running it for a little while, then you are losing money somewhere.
Yeah.
And you probably don't know it. You might not realize it, or you might realize it and you're not even sure where to start to fix it. So that's what we want to talk about today, is plugging up those holes.
Yeah, and that's a good point too. So don't feel bad if we go through the episode today that you identify yourself in one or all of these. Because it's one of those things where just having someone outside your business come in and take a look at your business, they're going to see things that you just can't. So that's kind of our job, is we're looking into your business, hypothetically, we're not actually there with our faces in the window, and we're seeing what's being done wrong or ways that we might be able to help, and that's the list.
Yeah, and these are universal.
Right.
So they happen to every single business, no matter how efficient they are, how great they are, these things pop up, and you're not immune to them. So not only you might be doing some of these things now, but you also need to pay attention to them
right
long term to actually really like look at the numbers.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So let's get started with one of my my pet peeves, because sure. I've been and that's kind of my favorite way to start an episode I've been in sales, and I've been a sales manager, and I've done marketing and things like that, and the biggest hole in my career that I've seen in businesses and in myself and in salespeople are no customer follow-up. I mean, literally, someone will send an email in or, you know, leave a voicemail and never get a call back. So that is probably the biggest, the lowest hanging fruit in any business, is just making sure that you're not only following up with new customers or potential customers that come in, but also with existing customers.
Yeah, so this happens always. I mean, I know we've talked about it at least four or five times.
Yeah, and we'll continue to do that.
We'll continue to talk about it because it happens just in every business all the time. And everywhere that I've ever worked in sales, one of the first things that you do is you can call your competition just to see what they say, see what they do. And
right.
If you call 10 places and not reach them, but have to leave a message or send an email or whatever it is, you might get 4 returned phone calls.
Right.
It's generally less than half will follow up with you consistently. And I've worked in lending and in banking, and I've worked in apparel, obviously, and all of these industries across the board. It happens all the time, and I know that somebody listening to this right now had an email come in that they never responded to, had a voicemail that they never responded to.
Right, and so I've got two challenges for you. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're already in business, go back through your emails from more than 90 days ago. And just scroll through and identify all the people that you were supposed to return their email about some kind of, it may not even be specifically about a job, but they may have had a question or you know, something about payment or inquiring about what you do or even just touching base. Go and see how many people that you have not replied to. And then go through your customer database, even if that's QuickBooks or Quicken or a ledger pad, of people that you've done business with over the past 6 months to a year, and put a little check mark beside the ones that you've actually talked to since they received their order.
Yeah, especially if they're if they're 6 months or plus old,
yeah,
you know, those people should have gotten some sort of communication from you. How many of them did?
Right. So why is that? Why is that a leaky boat, Mark? I mean, why is that a hole that you need to plug? I mean, I'm going along, and I've got T-shirt orders, I've got embroidery orders. I'm busy.
Yeah.
You know, why should I have to go back and call people that have already bought stuff from me?
Well, everyone wants to make more money.
Yeah, right? I've heard that.
Yeah, everyone wants to make more money. That's, you know, for the most part, that mm-hmm. is what people talk about when yeah. they're trying to grow their business. Is I want to be able to make more. I want to be able to do more. And people think about a hole in their business. They think about when they're losing money, only things that they're wasting money on. Okay? Not right. necessarily money that they haven't gotten in.
Right. No okay. missed opportunity. They're not looking at missed opportunities.
Missed opportunity is also a way that you're losing money.
Right.
In addition to, you know, making mistakes and having to throw garments away.
Right.
And things like that.
Yeah.
Or wasting.
And we'll talk about yeah. those, definitely.
Exactly. So that is some way you lose money. But not following up, it's like it's basically money that could have come in, that was going to come in. And they went somewhere. They gave their money to somebody else when they were probably happily going to give it to you.
Right. So let's say that you've got a customer, you did a great job for a year ago for a special event. You know, maybe it's something that's done annually and you didn't hear from them this year.
But if they were going to order those shirts, wouldn't they have called you? You did a good job.
Yeah, or somebody came by with a business card, or they met somebody new at a party, or they went online or got a coupon from Zazzle or Cafe Press and they decided to go that way. After all, they haven't heard from you for a year.
Yeah.
You know?
And they might have just forgotten how to reach you.
Yes.
You know, so...
It happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe their record keeping is like yours.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So that's the missed opportunity is a way that you're losing money, not following up with customers.
And I always also want to add that, you know, the no database or no customer follow-up... being a marketing guy, we talk about cost of acquisition of a customer. We did a podcast on buying customers that you should really listen to because we follow that kind of thing religiously at Cold Essie. Cost of acquisition for new customers is significantly higher than for repeat customers. You've already got someone's name and email address and phone number that expressed interest, have money, and have gotten product from you that they have not returned for any reason. There is no better prospect for another job or less expensive one to find because you've already paid to get that customer. Whether or not it's in your time in networking to find that customer, whether or not it's in your reference or network cash, you know, that you spend because your friends have told you about that one customer, they're not gonna tell you about that one customer again. The cost of acquisition is much higher for new customers, so you've really got to shepherd those existing clients. And you've got to make sure that every time they want something, they're calling you first. And you've got to do that by following up.
Yeah, and nobody's going to be offended if you call them up and you say, hey, 6 months ago you ordered some stuff, just wanted to check up on you, see if you need anything.
And we've like done a podcast on the customer experience. Mm-hmm. And in that, I know, Mark, you talk a lot about, man, send a thank you card.
Yeah.
Put them in an email database that they get an email from you every once in a while. I mean, just no customer follow-up on potential customers that call in or email in that you never get back to because you get busy or you're just not keeping track.
Yeah.
And of existing customers that have already given you money once is probably the biggest, most obvious, and easily fixed hole that I can think of.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And you're not going to be perfect at it. You're going to make mistakes. Right. It's about keeping that in the forefront and taking action. And I think that's kind of just it. It's keeping it in your mind and taking action whenever you can and doing your best to not do that every time, you know, you see the opportunity, you grab it, and then the hole, you know, is plugged.
If you're not driving around, then please write that one down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do we want to talk about next? What's next on our list?
I think what I've got here is not getting listed on Google and Bing and Yahoo and the search engines. It's free.
Yep.
And it's not difficult, but so few people do it. We even had a comment on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group about a lady that had listened to the podcast done the things in the podcast about getting found online, which include going to googlemybusiness.com, bingplaces.com, and just filling out the forms. It's not rocket science. She got 3 customers the first month after she did that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what I do often is I like going to new restaurants. I like trying new places. It's just a favorite thing of mine to do, you know, the whole experience of it. So often what I'll do is a friend of mine and I are going to go get some food. What do you want to eat tonight? I don't know. So I go onto Google Maps or I go on my phone.
What's nearby?
And I will search restaurant.
Right.
And then I'll look and I'll say, okay, all right, yeah, let's go here. Let's pick this one. We haven't eaten here. Cool. Right. On the way there, I see 2 to 3 other places I may have tried if I would have seen them.
That is a really good point. But you've already seen the name and that's where you're going. So you're not going to, you're just not going to pull over.
And I'm just like, what, this is, you're a restaurant.
Right.
You know, why aren't you on Google? You know, you're not registered with Google.
Yeah.
And the same thing. I mean, if you're an embroidery shop, you're in a niche business. If you're a t-shirt shop, you're in a niche business, which means there's only going to be so many people in your city, town that do this. And
in spite of the rampant rumors that there's competition everywhere.
Yeah. There is, right?
Yeah.
But it's a niche industry. There's not, you know, chances are there's not going to be the 500 embroiderers within 4 miles.
Yeah.
It's just not, you know, there's probably a couple or one. And if you just have to get found on there, just go and do it. It's going to take you, if you spend 2 hours, you will have an awesome just description and setup, and you can make sure you did it right and all the information's accurate. And that's a lot of time to do it because it really only takes like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Instead of wandering around trying to figure out how you can get more business, you know, and, you know, with all the angst and gnashing of teeth and all of those phrases that I can think of, you know, just spend the time, go to googlemybusiness.com, go to my bingplaces.com and fill out every single thing on there. And what'll happen is, like Mark said, if one of your potential customers lives within 5 or 10 miles of your business and they plug in custom t-shirts, embroidered t-shirts, bling shirts, something like that,
then
you're going to show up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Yep.
Not magic.
Yep. You just have to do it. And don't forget to create a Facebook page, too, because that's also what's going to be on the top of the searches.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and it doesn't take that long to do.
So just get listed. That's number 2.
Get listed. And you will find that that's another one that is potential money that you don't see as a loss. Everyone is trying to figure out how they can save 34 cents on a cone of thread.
Don't get me started.
All day, every day. And I'm just like, a cone of thread, folks, is 1 million stitches.
Right.
Okay. And how many logos is that?
How long will you spend shopping online for cheaper thread or cheaper backing or bobbins or any rhinestones? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
What the supply that you pick. You know, when you could be doing something.
Yeah,
productive.
And you could be doing something that literally the hour you spent doing that, you could have been found on Google, at which could turn into thousands of dollars in business next month.
That's the way it happens.
You know, compared to 34 cents, you know, on the 8 cones of thread you would have bought.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So another way that you're losing money through lost potential is by not offering any type of upsells or upgrades or additions.
Yeah, don't just take the order. That's what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Is don't just say, hey, I want 24 shirts. You know, customer calls up, I'd like 24 shirts printed with this image. Okay, here's the price. When will it be ready? Tuesday. Okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
Bring a check.
Do you know that I could do that same logo in custom koozies for $3 more a piece since you're ordering more than 50 shirts.
Love that idea.
You know? Just anything like that. Do you need any hats?
I've got a special on a caps bundle.
Yeah.
How about I do printed t-shirts and embroidered caps or vinyl caps, you know, and you buy them together and, you know, the order will be more, you know, but you'll get 2 pieces instead of 1.
Yep. And also just somebody, so the way that things work in sales, right?
You said the S word. The way that things work in small business people trying to make more money.
Yeah, the way that things work in sales,
right.
Okay, is go anywhere, and people, and it is a standard, you know, in just about everywhere. Would you like to do this? No. Are you sure? Or how about this alternative instead?
Yes.
When you go to buy a car, you know, they're going to ask you, if you say no, they're going to ask you again, or they'll ask you a different way or a different upgrade.
Yes.
When you are, you know, buying clothes at the mall, you know, what about a belt? Okay, how about a scarf? You know?
Oh, man, just don't make the mistake of going into Men's Warehouse for, you know, anything. Anything. You'll come out with a three-piece suit and a cummerbund. You don't know why.
Yeah, and you know, I, of course I need hankies.
Yes.
You know? So that's what, you know, do that as well.
But let's use a more common example, and that's, do you go into any fast food place, a McDonald's or a Burger King, where they don't say large?
Yeah, large.
Or would you like to supersize it?
Yeah.
Do you want to add fries?
Yeah. Like an apple pie. Yeah, apple pie for 99 cents. Yeah. You know, that's all the stuff. That's the stuff that they do. Servers do that. Would you like dessert?
And guess why they do that?
Because it works.
Because it works. Because it works, and people make money. So do this exercise for me. Go back to your, if you're in business, go back to the last 3 or 4 months worth of orders. And count up the total amount of money that you made and add 10% to that. Mm-hmm. And see how much money that is and how much more profitable your business would have been if you just would have made 10% more on every single order. And that 10% is something that you can ask for.
Yeah.
By offering an upgrade of some kind.
Yeah. And offer them, and then in addition to offering the upgrade, they might just say no. Like, oh, I don't need any, you know, we don't. So you're ordering a group of things, a group of, say, I don't know, family reunion shirts. It could be anything, literally. And you say, do you guys want some caps too for that? No, I think we just need the shirts.
Okay, yeah.
Cool, no problem. Let me tell you this, though. The caps are going to be this much.
Yeah.
And oftentimes what I find is that the person I'm talking to says no, but then if they go around and ask a few people, the answer actually kind of is yes, just not for everybody.
Yeah.
So what I would say is, just in the back of your mind, just think about it. When next time you're talking with anybody, just ask anybody else if they might want a hat.
Seriously, have you ever thought about going into sales? You should really look into that.
Then you will be surprised on when you follow them up and you follow up with them.
Yeah.
Hey, here's your quote. Hey, by the way, did you talk to anybody?
Yeah.
Was anybody interested in the caps? Let's just pretend that most of the people are going to say, yeah, I did. Nobody was interested. But the key word is most.
Right.
Not all. Some of them are going to say yes. These are
one,
all
one, one guy is going to say, yep, as a matter of fact, all 57 people want a cap.
They all thought it was a great idea.
And you just made $15 or $20 a cap times those 57 people that you wouldn't have made otherwise.
Sure. And it may have been just 20. It may have been a dozen.
Right.
You know, and it's like, but all of that stuff adds up over time. You know, there's like those dozen caps, you know, at a time. You know, those 20 canned koozies that they're like, okay.
And here's what you could also do. We've talked about this in customer experience and a couple of other things. Is you could also, when it comes to pick up the order, just say, hey, I made a cap just for you.
Yeah.
You know, so here you go. It's just, thanks for the order. I appreciate it. Here's a cap. Maybe next time.
A whole bunch of people just got jealous when they saw
exactly. That cap. Exactly. And now they're angry with him and he hates you.
Yeah, because a lot of people like hats and people love canned koozies.
Yeah.
I mean, people love that stuff. And if you show up to the family reunion and you've got your ice cold beverage in a canned koozie and nobody else does.
Where'd you get that? Why did I give you the money?
Now everyone's angry. Why didn't you get those?
So right.
It's an exciting thing.
And that works for charity stuff. It works for memorial applications. It works for business. You know, it works if you're doing a business-to-business application.
I see it. So I, if you go to Little League and soccer and all that stuff for kids, you know, it's, you know, at the game, you know, they sell cans of Coke. They sell bottles and stuff like that. And it's rare, you know, that you see anybody like with that koozie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's, I think it's the coolest idea.
It is a great idea, man.
You know, parents want to fan wear up
their
kids stuff.
Yeah,
they love to do it. So these are all things, you know, that you need to just plant the seeds of ideas into people's heads. and a percentage of them are going to think, are going to agree with you on how awesome an idea it is and say yes, you're going to make more money.
So here's your exercise for that one is pick two or three add-ons that you could add on to every order. Whether it's hats or koozies or hoodies or long sleeve polos as well as short sleeve polos, or even if it's another location for your graphic.
Yeah, that's
so
that's,
you know, an add-on might be, you know, I'm doing an embroidered logo on the front. How about if I put your name on the back, or the family name on the back, or, you know, do you want to do the sleeve with something
on the right sleeve? We can do monograms.
Yeah,
you know, on the right sleeve, that it's a $5 add-on. A lot of people love it.
Yeah,
you know, and just add these things. And when they say no to one, offer a second one.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be pushy. It doesn't have to be not friendly. Just say, hey, do you want caps too? No, we don't want any caps. Okay, you want to do the left chest. I also offer monograms on the sleeve.
You can
put people's initials. Is that something you'd like to do? No. Okay. And last thing, can we offer can koozies?
I got one more.
You know,
I got one more, right?
I just want to make sure that you get everything that you want. Because all too often I do orders for people, and then halfway through they wish they would have done something else.
Yeah.
So I just like to suggest, it's good for both of us. And you will find that people will like it. Almost nobody's going to get annoyed with it. And if somebody is annoyed and a jerk about you asking that, they were going to be annoyed and a jerk anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
They were going to anyway at some point in time.
Yeah,
and
I
just
agree.
Those people. And guess what? Some of you listening,
you're
people.
One of those people.
You know, and that's just the way
it
is.
I'm talking to you, New Jersey.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, so that's a good one. I mean, please do some kind of an add-on offer with every single order that you take, okay? I think the next one is kind of, I'm not sure which category it falls into.
Okay, all right.
But
you've got me curious.
It's pre-selecting blanks. So I hadn't thought too much about this before we started talking to Sanmar, and we did a couple of podcast episodes with them as guests. But we get a lot of people on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, and I understand why, that ask, I've got a customer that wants this shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a customer that wants these shirts or those pants or this hat, things like that. And I understand like why they're doing that. And I guess what I'm trying to say here is that it may be taking too much of your time.
Yeah.
So if you are spending a couple of hours trying to find a blank to match what your customer wants, if you are spending a couple of hours or days getting a sample of the shirt that your customer wants, and then you're trying to print it with DTG or you're trying to embroider it and find out it doesn't work well, you know, because of the fabric or the material or the design or the, you know, the treatment on the shirt. You're doing all of these things basically before you get a job, where the smart thing to do and what will save you time and money and a lot of trial and error in the long run is to build a library of blanks that you have tested and that you do work with, and just stick to offering those.
And when people ask for something that's a little bit different, you know, you give them the intelligent advice to say, yeah, that shirt is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, we can spend some time searching for it. Let me tell you this though. Right now though, I've got this one. It prints really well. It washes really well.
Yeah.
It looks really good. It's not exactly what you were looking for, but I'm telling you that like it's just as nice.
Yeah.
Take a look at it. You know, and you're just going to get, again, just like everything else, a percentage of the people are going to look at that and say, okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's half the people.
Yeah. And they're just going to say, yeah, okay. That sounds great. That was just an idea, but your suggestion, I mean, you are the expert.
Right. That's a good point.
And again, so a percent, and then you are going to say to people, no, I really, really, this is the one we really want.
Yeah.
And then at that point in time, you can start to evaluate if you want to go down that path or not. And
you could say, you know what? I don't offer shirts like that. You know, because I've never tested it, and I could get in that whole order and we could put an image on it and then it washes out the first time. And I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I can't help you with that. once again, here's a great shirt that I've got or a pair of shorts that I've got, you know, and these will definitely work.
And you just have to make that determination in your business.
Yeah.
When, you know, when do you say no or not?
Yeah.
And, you know, it depends.
And in some circumstances, speaking of Sanmar, you know, you can actually call up your Sanmar rep.
Mm-hmm.
And say, listen, I'm doing DTG. I've got someone that's looking for a hoodie. I'm doing rhinestone transfers. I'm doing sublimation. I've got somebody that's looking for a pair of shorts that, you know, are this. And they may be able to advise you and save you some time anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the, you know, that's a trait of smart business owners.
Yeah.
Is they go to their expert first.
Yeah.
And just to get the answer and get it done and move on.
Yeah.
So if you work, say, you know, you mentioned Sanmar, if you work with Sanmar and you buy apparel from them and you have a customer that's asking for something specific, the fastest answer for you is, like, don't get on Google or anything else first. Just pick up real quick.
Yeah.
Call your rep or email your rep or whatever it might be and send them a picture, an email, whatever it might be, and say, I'm looking for this. Do you guys have this or something close to it? And they might just have what you want. The price might be fair enough.
Yeah.
Job's done.
Yeah.
Move on.
And will it work with my decorating method?
And will,
because they can tell you.
Yeah.
You know, they really can.
And then you move on. You made the sale. You're moving on. You're on to doing something else, which is including, you know, all the things that we're talking here about, you know, here.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. So that's one of the ones where you pre-select your blanks. Sanmar, and I'm sure other companies will too, they'll even make a catalog for you of just the ones that you've picked.
Yeah.
You know, they'll make an online catalog that you can, a PDF file you can email to people. You know, they'll help you with stuff like
and
that.
And related to this, a little bit different.
Yeah.
But it's related to this is, it's also to test everything.
Yeah.
We did a podcast on that.
Yeah.
And it's related to this is that if you're doing something that you haven't done before, test it. We got, how many garments did we get in?
A bunch.
We got like 60, maybe more, I mean, different things in. And we started messing. I found a pair of shorts that I couldn't put vinyl on. Polyester.
Weird.
100% polyester. Nothing weird about it.
Should have worked, right?
Should have worked, you know? But, you know, polyester is not one thing.
Right.
You know, it is, there's a lot of different ways to make it. I don't know how it was dyed. I don't know what it was treated with.
Treated,
you know,
with something that was heat resistant.
You know, yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, I put the vinyl on it, picked it up, and then I was able to basically just lift up a corner and peel it off.
Crazy.
You know, when I have 40 things behind it that are 30 of them are polyester,
right,
it all works. So you got to test things too, because you can turn into buying a whole bunch of stuff. You're trying to stick to it. We've had people not be able to stick patches to things, not be able to print on things.
Yeah.
Even embroidery, so hard to embroider on that they spend all of this time. They waste so many garments just trying to get the embroidery right.
Yeah.
So spend time testing things, but that has to do with building your list of blanks that you have tested.
So let's say pre-selecting blanks is one of the ways that you could be losing money, not pre-selecting your blanks. And sell nothing without testing.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just make that a hard and fast.
That's a hard
write
word.
That somewhere in, you know, in big letters. Don't sell anything without testing.
So what's next? What do we got next?
Well, next is another sales thing, and that is raise your prices.
Okay.
Okay, so raise your prices. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. What most people do is when they're pricing things is they try to either match or beat everyone else they've ever met or heard of or had a customer bring to them. And that's not always necessary. We did another podcast on beating the competition by being different.
Yeah.
You know, you can, in most circumstances, especially with existing customers, comfortably raise your prices by 10% and they won't even notice. You know, if you are selling 24 shirts for $15 a piece to someone that is, you know, that has found you online, or maybe they're a customer, or they've been into your shop, or they've talked to you on the phone, do you not think you could get $16.49 for it? Do you think someone is going to walk away for $1.50 a shirt on a 12 shirt order, you know, or a 24 shirt order? I mean, the answer is, I don't know, but you should find out.
Yeah.
Because the happy thing would be is when that you find out that you don't have to be so cheap. You're worth more, and you can find out 10% at a time.
And it's, you know, it's part of when you're, especially when the cost of your goods go up.
Oh, yeah.
The shirts that you're buying today might not be, they might be cheaper next year. They might be more expensive next year. And you can't, you know, you have to explain to your customer, you know, that I had an increase in my costs, and you got to make that adjustment.
Yes. Don't feel obligated to keep. So I'm going to go back in the way back to machine to my Coleman and Company days.
Yeah.
And when we discovered that our pricing had been going up on a particular supply item, our cost, over a 5-year period, and we'd never raised our prices. So we were actually losing money every time we sold the product. We raised the price up to something reasonable, and the product sales stayed the same.
Yeah. Yeah,
and because it didn't matter.
Yeah, because if it's reasonable, everyone understands.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you're going to have situations where you raise your price and somebody moans about it and says, oh, I'm going to go somewhere else then. And then again, these are all times where you make that decision.
Yeah.
Okay, well, should I keep it for the same for this customer?
Yes.
You know, what's the value of this customer? You know, if they are, if they're being unreasonable about the price being the same for the past 6 years and not accepting a dollar more a garment, you know, is it worth it? And maybe the answer is yes.
We've actually got a spreadsheet to help you figure that out. We did one on how much is a customer worth.
Yeah.
And you can actually do that math and figure it out. So let's say that, you know, the next time, the next five people that call in for t-shirts, you quote an extra 10%. And you keep track and see how many of those customers place an order versus at the lower price.
Yeah.
And then you decide whether or not it's worth it. You you float the idea of a price increase to the next five customers that walk in the door. Say, hey, my prices are gonna go up by 10% next month. Is there anything you'd like to order now? Is that 10% gonna be a big deal for you guys? And they'll say, yes, I'm never walking in your door again. Not very likely. Or no big deal, I like you. You know, I mean, I understand.
Yeah, I understand.
And then you'll make an extra 10%, which if you have 100 customers in a year, which I hope you have more, that's like getting 10 more customers.
Yeah.
For just saying a different number.
There we go.
You know, and that's 10% right to profit, not going to more cost. It's just more profit in your pocket.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some things are easier said than done and not, you know, but other times it is easier done than said sometimes.
Oh, that's
you know,
that's it's a like, good one.
You know, sometimes it's just, you just do it and everything is fine. You
yeah.
know? And you have anxiety about it, but it was fine. And yeah, like, you know, you might raise it and get some issues, but you might raise it and get none. You just got to do it. You got to try it.
It's the customer stories. It's one of the answers that we give people say, I say, you know, I have a vinyl cutter. I'm doing this part time. I can't make any money. How can I make more money? You can follow up with your customers.
Yeah.
You can get on Google. You can make sure that you're not wasting time and money on the wrong blanks. And how much are you charging for your stuff? 100% of the time, they're undercharging.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say that, you know, well, I saw a guy online that's selling it for this. Or my customers can buy it for that. Just raise your prices by 10%.
There we go. Another solution for
yep.
you.
Okay.
All right. So, we have...
The next one is you. The next one is all you.
We've got some stuff on ordering supplies here.
Yeah.
And every single day, somebody is doing an overnight order.
Yeah.
Next day air shipment of something that they should have had in stock.
And this is the more comfortable category for most of our listeners because they're saving money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, they're not doing anything uncomfortable.
Yes.
All you're doing is saving money.
Prices.
You don't have to talk to people.
Yeah,
you don't have to try to sell anything. Yeah.
All you have to do.
Stop saying the S word.
Is go in the back or wherever
count
you keep your supplies.
Count your stuff.
Take a look at how much did I sell in the last 60 days.
Yeah.
How's my inventory of supplies looking?
Yeah.
And if you're low on transfer paper, get on the phone right now and order it today.
Yeah. Ground.
If you're low on ink, you know, if your white ink is a little bit low, you know, get it in. The reason that this is hard is because people are a little afraid of managing that inventory and keeping things in stock because, you know, well, when am I going to get that $300 back in sales?
Yeah.
How long is that going to take? Because I could really use that $300.
Yeah, true.
So you get apprehension behind that.
Yeah, they're afraid, what if I never sell anything again?
Yeah, yeah, you know, a little bit of that.
Am I going to be stuck with this?
You know, am I going to be stuck with these rhinestones?
Right.
And I'm just going to say, what are the chances of you being stuck with crystal SS10?
I was just going to say that, yeah.
You know?
We're not talking about getting crazy and ordering like one each of all the neon nail heads.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're talking about your basic inventory.
Yeah. So, you know, keep track of your inventory. Watch out on overnighting these supplies, especially your heaviest stuff.
Oh my God.
Transfer paper, gallons of pre-treat.
Rolls
of backing, big rolls of backing. You know, all this stuff costs a lot to overnight.
Yeah.
And it's just what it is. The size of the box and the weight. Those are the two things that UPS and FedEx and all these companies charge by. It's weight and size.
Yeah.
And your biggest and heaviest things, you need to just keep a close eye on that stuff and manage that inventory well. Because today, but in the time that I've been in here talking to you, I can go back in there and somebody has ordered something in an overnight shipment that they should have had in stock.
We should reveal one day in a future podcast.
Okay.
We should actually go back and get an annual number of how much people have spent for the year with Coleman and Company on overnight
charges. Staggering
charges.
Number.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you got to do it. You know, I always like devil's advocate. Sometimes you're going to get a customer who's going to order a color you don't normally keep in stock and they want to have it by Friday.
And they'll pay for it.
And they're going to pay for it, and you said, all right, I can do it by Friday. I have a rush charge. It's this much money. I'm going to have to overnight some stuff.
Yeah.
You're kind of, you know, you got to help me cover the bill on that.
Yep.
Do it then.
Yeah.
You know, do it. Sometimes you make a mistake. That's okay, too. You know, you needed 1,000 rhinestones, you know, for this one, in this one unique color for this little part of the job.
Yep.
So you ordered, you know, 1,500 or whatever number you ordered, you know, you ordered a little bit more. You made a whole bunch of mistakes. Now you got to overnight them. So you can't, you know, you're going to make mistakes and all that stuff. But on a regular basis, if you're managing your inventory, you're going to save a whole bunch of money.
Yeah. I mean, and that is 100% true and verifiable and applies to any business,
mm-hmm.
You know, really. So inventory management, no more will save you from overnight charges. It will save you from the, hypertension medication.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not sure if it's going to get there. You're going to be shocked at what it costs for Saturday delivery. You're going to be in a rural area that does not get Saturday delivery, and there's nothing we can do.
And UPS trucks break.
They do.
You know.
And there's weather. The plane doesn't. I mean, that happens way too much.
Bridges shut down.
Yep.
And every single day, you know, things like that happen, and people get upset and stressed out about it. So do whatever you can to manage that inventory. Keep written lists down. Know how much ink and rhinestones and thread and bobbins and things like that you're using at a given period of time. And make sure that, all right, hey, if I got a job in tomorrow, you know, would I be able to fulfill it comfortably without having, you know, to do it? And this is a balance.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can't order 20 of everything.
I just stumbled on a little synchronicity here on
our
list.
Let's do it.
So let's say that you go in and you're counting your inventory, but you really don't know what kind of orders you're going to get this month.
Sure.
Maybe you could look back in your database and through your accounting software and see who placed big orders around this time period and call them and say, listen, I was just about to place an inventory order, and I remember that you ordered a bunch of stuff from me this time last year. Do you think you're going to do that again?
Yeah.
Let me make sure that I have my stuff in stock. It's a great reason to call. They'll appreciate it, especially if they're about to place an order, mm-hmm. or if you remind them who you are.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
Okay, good. The next one is, I just have a note here, no prepayment or deposit. And this is just kind of a standard thing in the industry. You need to get money up front when you take an order. I mean, there are a few circumstances like with universities and big businesses that may operate on a PO. If you choose to accept that, that's going to be different. But by and large, especially if you're doing any creative work, you're setting up screens, you're placing a special order for blanks, you need to get a deposit or 100% prepay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's really all
Yeah.
That's all we got to say about it. You have to do it. It's not optional.
Well, because the thing is like, if you're gonna do jackets, the chances are you don't keep those jackets in stock, you know, for a whole team, for a whole sports team. You probably shouldn't.
Yeah, you know? Agreed.
So now you're going to have to order these jackets, and they're not going to be inexpensive to order. They're going to cost you maybe $25 a piece.
Yeah. Times 40. And then the guy that ordered, the coach or something, he gets fired or he moves or, you know, he goes on a 3-week sabbatical or something. And the next guy really doesn't want those jackets.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know, you're going to lose money. That's what you're going to do.
Started, you know, embroidering. And we have people all the time that say, talk to somebody, place the order. They signed off for it. Yeah. They put a deposit down.
Yeah.
Never heard from them again.
Yeah.
Even after they put a deposit down.
Yeah.
I hear that story all That's the time crazy. Where they're like, I have these 40 shirts completed.
Yes.
I never heard from them again. I'm so glad I got that deposit. At least, you know, I didn't make any money, but I didn't lose any, you know.
Well, you know, we even had the story on the CAS group a while ago. The lady did 40 shirts for a woman's group. They signed off on the logo, everything like that, and they got the shirts, and the sizing of those shirts didn't match the sizes that the women ordered. In other words, like, a medium didn't fit like a medium.
Yeah.
That's two things. That's, thank goodness that you got a prepayment, because they approved everything.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you were able to recoup some of your losses. And you should have pre-selected those blanks. So you knew that a medium from this company is like an extra small from other companies.
Yeah, which is very true.
Yeah, so you've got to get some kind of a prepayment or deposit, or honestly, I would just be prepared to walk away from the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I've got something here.
Go ahead.
Is a poor or almost no accounting.
Ouch. That hurts. My wife is an accountant. She would have a heart attack if she heard somebody say that out loud.
Yeah. But that often happens. People forget to invoice their customers.
Yes.
They forget to ask for that final payment. They forget to collect on the final payment. They collect checks that they never put in the bank.
True story.
Yeah.
True story. My wife is an accountant, so she, like I said, she keeps track of these things. We used to pay daycare for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It was at a public elementary school here in Hillsborough County, Florida, with a check on a weekly basis. There are several checks that were never cashed. My daughter is over 30 now. It's still on my wife's accounting books. But, you know, I mean, that's like one person. How many people over the 10 years that this organization ran the daycare center, did they not cash checks?
Yeah.
They're in somebody's pocket. You know, so bad accounting is a business killer.
Yeah, yeah. So pay attention to that. And it can be on so many levels.
Yeah.
It can be that you're literally not getting paid on things you should have.
Yes.
It could be that you're not depositing money.
You forget to invoice a product.
Yeah, and it could be you're paying too much in taxes.
Yes, or you're not paying taxes and you get caught.
Yeah, both.
I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to get caught up in all of that stuff. So sometimes that means that you need an expert.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can run with a program, FreshBooks or QuickBooks, and you do it, and it's easy enough for you, and that's fine. And other times you just say, okay, this has been a mess too many years in a row.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to focus on other things on this list. Let me go ahead and hire this.
Yeah, or like me, I'm not good at this.
Yeah.
So let me hire out.
Sure.
And you could hire a bookkeeper if you don't want to go the full CPA route. You could hire somebody else that's got QuickBooks to keep track of this stuff for you and then talk to an accountant once a year when it's tax time. Or you could go right with a CPA. You realize that you're going to be a big business or that it's valuable enough that you want to save every penny that you can and do everything correctly. And then you know, get yourself a real professional.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you have to hire this person full time to work for you solely.
Yeah, no.
You're not talking about bringing them in. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the thing. If you have somebody who does this,
yeah,
and you say, well, how does it work? And they'll tell you, okay, well, you send us all your invoices, we keep track of everything, we send you a report.
Yeah.
When it comes tax time, you know, we have everything that you've got, you know, scanned electronically in, ready to go.
Yeah.
We file your taxes for you, and this is how much we charge for it. And then, you know, if you decide to do that, you just need to make sure that the prices that you have and the profit and everything reflect that cost.
Yes.
So you can afford to do it if it's the right thing to do.
Maybe you can ask for an extra 10% on every order.
If you need to.
Yeah.
You know?
So
yeah.
Places that you can find a good and reliable bookkeeper or accountant is if you have a relationship with a bank, you could ask them for a recommendation. Friends and family often know a bookkeeper or a CPA that you can start with. If all that fails and you can't find a referral, you can go to the Chamber of Commerce, look for accountants and bookkeepers, or you could just go to Google or Bing and type in bookkeepers in my area. And guess what? I bet some of them show up on Google Maps.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll be close to you.
And if they don't, shame on them.
Yeah, I know. Then you need to send them a link to this podcast because it applies.
So I've got one other on my list.
Yeah, me too. I think it matches.
What do you have?
I've got no referrals.
Okay, I have a different one.
Oh, so good. Cool. Okay, we have two more. That makes 10.
Yeah.
So we have to retitle this podcast maybe.
All right.
The 10 places you're losing.
Is it 10? Wow.
I know. So my no referrals, I think, is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, now you're back into the S word. You're back into the sales mm-hmm. kind of category and customer service and customer experience. Is everyone that you talk to that is ordering custom apparel knows someone or is connected to someone in some way that needs custom apparel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone. If you are dealing with the school, then the moms or dads or kids, they're going to need custom apparel for their work or for a different application. Maybe they work at a charity. If you're doing custom stuff for a business, it's the same thing. Each individual that receives a shirt from you,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a charity or a school or a business, whatever it is, they are going to have the opportunity to send you business if they're happy.
Yes. Yep.
You just have to ask for it. So how do you ask for referrals, Mark? What do you
say? After you do a job, or sometimes not before that, you mm-hmm. know, you just say just a simple sentence or two. Like,
yeah.
Hey, by the way, do you know anybody else who might need some work? I love referrals.
Yeah.
Or you just say, hey, do me a favor. You said I did a good job. I appreciate it. Here's, you know, three of my cards. You know, what I would ask from you is, like, if you know anybody who else, just pass this on to them.
Yeah.
You know, or ask for email addresses. Say, hey, I have a little referral form that I have on my website. I'm going to email you the link to it. If you know a few people that are in this industry, I'd love to send them an email, say that you referred me, if that's okay. And not everybody is going to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe more won't than will.
Yeah.
You know, but you ask for it. And then again, it's like all these little conversations. You ask to sell, like you ask to
upgrade the cab. It adds up.
It all adds up, and you just ask for the referral. So you just say, "Do you know anybody else?"
How about this one? My business is growing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking for more customers. Do you know anybody else that is doing a family reunion? Go down the list. Do you know anybody else that's doing a family reunion or that orders business clothing or is part of a charity that might need custom apparel? And then get out a pen and paper and stand there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wait. And let them rack their brains and think of at least one person. I would just say, my business is growing. Do you know anyone else who might be in the following situations looking for a t-shirt that'll jog their memory? And then stand there and wait for them to, you know, wait for them to say something.
And then ask again another day.
Yeah. Tag it to the bottom of an email.
Yeah.
You know, or make that the subject of you following up and keeping in touch with your customers. Make it a policy every time you deliver an order. You send them a thank you card or a thank you email with those three extra cards that Mark Vila was talking about. You know, if it's an email with a link to that referral form, you know, hey, would you share this email with three people you know that might be interested.
Yep, and the power of the PS and the by the way.
Oh yeah,
so,
love that.
You know, in a handwritten thank you note, an email, a social media thank you, however you decide to do your thank you.
Yeah.
You know, hey, thanks so much for this, blah, blah, blah.
You're
wonderful, I enjoy doing business with you, signed, you know.
Yeah.
The t-shirt shop. By the way.
Right.
PS, if you know anybody, you know, that needs any help, because this is what's going to happen, all right? Somebody's going to get your thank you note, and they're going to see dear their name.
Yeah.
They're going to ignore everything else.
And they go right to the signature and the PS. That's
and then
it.
They see, by the way,
right.
Well, this must be important.
Right.
They put, by the way.
Yeah, they put PS down at the bottom.
PS. I'm always curious what a PS says.
Yes.
So people will read the PS and the button. It is weird but true, isn't it?
Yeah.
So people are going to read that. So yeah, just PS. If you know anybody who needs embroidery, I put 3 cards in this thank you note. Please pass them along.
Yeah.
However you ask for it, it will work.
Yes. I absolutely agree. And that's why all developed businesses do that.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. All right, what's your number 10?
I have ignoring your online and social media reputation.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, so not, you know, just...
That's a hole in your business.
Yeah,
right,
and
there,
it's,
man,
just not paying attention if there is reviews on Google or Yelp,
yeah,
or Facebook, because you can respond to them.
Yeah.
And I was looking at a restaurant this weekend, and actually this is really why it popped in my head. I was looking at a restaurant this weekend, and it had like, they had like four or four and a half star review.
Yeah.
Every 1 or 2 star review they had a response to it. I think they had,
okay,
maybe 25 reviews. They had 3 or 4 that were 1 or 2 stars.
Okay.
So one of them was, food was good, way too expensive.
Okay.
And they responded. Hey, I'm sorry, you know, you thought our restaurant was a little higher priced than you thought. We just want to let you know that we use really high quality ingredients that aren't cheap, and you know, we have to charge accordingly for that. However, most of our customers feel that, you know, our food is worth that. We're sorry that, you know, maybe, you know, this place isn't right for you, but it's because we use, you know, great ingredients.
Yes.
Another person said, I got there and we sat there for 10 minutes and a server didn't come.
Right.
And they looked at the date and they said, oh, you know, I'm sorry, you must have came around the 4th of July. We were really busy that day. We had a couple. We're so sorry. Next time you come in, ask for me. Ask for
Ray.
They had a name, you know, and you know, we'll take care of you. You know, we'll give you something, a special treat, you know, for the trouble. And they just responded like that.
Yeah.
So then I had no worries about going there.
Right.
Because I said, yeah, there's some 1-star reviews. They said something positive about every 1-star review. Do that. Same thing on your Facebook. If somebody says something bad or whatever it might be, apologize if you made a mistake. Hey, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And I mean, I'll be honest. We occasionally don't get the best reviews at Cold Essie. I mean, we have 157, I think right now, 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got maybe 10 less than that.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what happens, and this is the way I respond to poor reviews, let me tell you what happens when we get a review like yours. First of all, thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happens. The president of our company gets an email every time we get a review less than 4 stars. The head of the service department gets the same email. The sales manager gets the same email, and me, I'm the director of marketing, I get the same email. It's vitally important that you let us know when you're not happy so we can help. And then I send them a link to the 155 5-star reviews that I've got. And I offer to, here's my direct contact information. Please contact me. We'll work it out.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully when people go to the review section and they see somebody that never bought any equipment from us, give us a poor review. I'm nodding my head at Mark here.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a poor review. Then, you know, we'll be able to, you know, counteract that a little bit by saying, hey, you know, sorry, we couldn't work things out. The pricing didn't come out the way that you had expected, but we've got a lot of happy customers. We look forward to making you one someday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
so
and that's attention. The way to handle it.
Yeah.
Right?
You pay attention to them. You respond to them. You, you know, apologize if you need to apologize. Make it right if you need to make it right. And sometimes the reason that people give you a poor review is unreasonable.
Yes.
In every industry. And
absolutely.
I'm not even trying to speak out of experience here specifically.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I read reviews online.
Yeah.
And sometimes I read reviews and like I saw some like Amazon sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll see a phone cable that's $1.99.
Right.
and then somebody gives it a 1 star because they went back and edited their review, and they're like, this thing didn't last 3 months.
Right.
Oh,
it's $1.99. Yeah, what did you expect?
Yeah, really?
What
are your expectations? It was a $2 cable. The reason I bought this one is because I want to have just a couple extras around just to kind of have everywhere, you know? So yeah. If I need chargeable, here's one. You know, I didn't buy that to buy a premium cable. Now, if I bought a $20 cable and it lasted 3 months, I'd probably be bothered by that. I bought that $20 one because it's premium. So sometimes you're going to get these reviews where somebody says, don't go to this embroidery shop, they're a ripoff.
Right.
And you say, I have a lot of good reviews. We price accordingly. We only use good thread, a good machine, good hats.
We're not perfect, but we're good.
Yeah, we're good, and that's it.
And I'm gonna add one thing to that, and then we got to wrap up so people can get back to work. And that is your right on paying attention, not just to reviews, but to your social media in general. It's very dangerous for you to develop a Facebook page, a Twitter account, an Instagram account, and then never go there and ignore it. Because what will happen is people will start to spam your audience.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're not paying attention to the Coleman & Company page, our competitors may go on there and start advertising on, you know, on the page. If we're not paying attention to the Cold Essie page, you know, we may get people that are advertising website services, or, you know, they're advertising some other things to our customers that have nothing to do with the purpose of the page.
Sure.
So if we didn't monitor the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group on a regular basis, then everyone would think, you know, that most of our customers sold sweaters, custom manufactured sweaters from India.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are the kinds of things that would get posted.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You've got to pay attention. Man, I think we did a lot today.
Yeah, we covered a bunch of stuff. Hopefully you've listened and you found some things that kind of really piqued your interest and in how you can plug some of those holes in your leaky boat where you're losing money, whether it's literally wasting money or it's losing the potential.
Yeah,
missed opportunity. So both of those are important. And more often than not, the missed opportunity is worth more than the bits that you're losing.
Yeah, almost always. Okay, so I hope you take some of these things to heart. I hope you go back and review the other podcasts that we've done on the value of a customer, the customer experience. I think we've done several that involve follow-up and customer contact management and all that stuff. They're all important, and they're all important for the reasons that you heard today, where you're losing money.
Very good.
I've enjoyed being 40.
Yes.
One more time. This has been Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And this is Mark from Coleman & Company.
Have a good business, guys.